forever. Dog.
From the brand new spacious Forever Dog Studios in downtown Los Angeles and the satellite Forever Dog Studios in Baltimore, Maryland, this is Gross! And now your host, Dan Gill and Eric DeDorian. Wow, here they are. Hi, Eric. Hi. Hello.
Hi, hello.
We're both
happy
wearing...
Happy Pride Month.
Happy Pride Month, baby. Happy Pride Month to all you wetheads. Get wet, stay wet. This is Groomzillas. This is June. This is the only wedding planning podcast by grooms, for grooms, and everyone in between. Eric, it looks like we're both wearing somewhat yellow shirts. That's fun.
Yeah, I'm wearing the same t-shirt I wear every single time we record, my Lakers t-shirt that is very faded.
And I'm wearing my caramel celebration shirt that I wore the day after your wedding with my caramel pants. Hashtag caramel celebration.
Caramel Dan.
Caramel Dan.
Caramel Knowledge. The famous movie, Caramel Knowledge, starring Dan Gale.
Thank you once again for joining us. We got a great episode this week.
Dan, I'm not good. I have to get something off my chest. I feel shitty about it.
Okay, open up.
So yesterday, Drew, spent all this time. She makes ice cream. She's an incredible cook and pastry chef. But yes. She also makes ice cream. And she made this incredible mint chocolate ice cream.
You ate it all?
It was a mint. No, I wish. I honestly wish I ate it all. What I did was worse.
What did you do, Eric?
Drunkenly and drunkenly and stonedly last night. I was, feeling weird. I was emotional. I was emotionally drinking. I was watching Garden State.
Oh.
Anyway, here's what happened. I know. Don't judge me.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't watch all. I had to turn it off.
Yeah.
I ate the ice cream. Ate some of it. I was like, don't eat all of it, even though I could have. Uh-huh. But then I was so high and drunk, I put it in the fridge instead of the freezer.
You
idiot. It just melted.
You can't refreeze that?
And then Drew was like really looking for, she's at work all day. She's going to work all day today.
Uh-huh.
And then she wakes up this morning to me melted. She spent so long making this. It was so good, too. And I hate mint chocolate ice cream. I hate mint.
What
stuff.
Are you doing, Eric?
I'm all over the place. I'm all over the place.
But you can pop that back in the freezer and you're okay. You're good to go.
Yeah, but it's going to, it does lose something.
It loses a generation. It's like a copy of a copy. Yeah, you're right.
It's a clone of a clone.
It's a clone of a clone. We got a banger of an episode for you. We got former podcaster. This guy's podcaster extraordinaire, you might say.
He's incredible. He's like a Duplass Brothers of podcasting, this guy.
Yeah. Has anyone else said that? That's a great... We got to email that to him because that's a great moniker.
But I use it for everything.
Travis McElroy is coming up later in the
Travis
show.
Travis McElroy.
But right now, you want to just get into it? I mean, need some ice cream or should we go forward?
No. All right.
Okay. Doesn't even like the mint chocolate chip, he says.
It was so good. That was meant as a compliment.
Okay.
But at that point, you know when you get to that fucked up place when you're emotionally eating where it's like, it doesn't matter what you're putting cramp in your face. You need to cram some in your face.
Yeah. Mine,
It was still, what's yours?
Mine is, what do you call it? What are the crunchy noodles, like Asian noodles? They're crunchy noodles. I don't know. I just eat these bland, crunchy.
Like ramen noodles? Like dry ramen noodles?
No, they're, what do you call them? I don't even know. They're crunchy.
You have more money than that. What do you?
They're crunchy
noodles.
Well, there's just, I eat everything out of the house and then I'm eating like these crunchy. Yeah.
Can you keep snacks in the house or no?
I've learned recently not to do that because I don't know why.
No. I mean, I can't. We try to keep snacks in the house.
Oh, yeah.
But I won't. I won't let that happen at all.
Tasmanian devil on them. I've recently learned, I don't know why it took me 34 years, but I'm like, you know what? I'm just not going to bring this into my house and then it won't be a problem.
Yeah.
Unless it's the weekend. That's how I reward myself now, Eric. I have cheat days and I say, Danny, this is the week.
Chili dog. Wake up to a chili dog.
Well, I mean, if it's a Saturday, I'll wake up to a foot long chili dog.
Foot long chili dog. don't know why. Why is that so funny? You eating chili dogs? I don't know, but it's hilarious.
I used to eat tons of chili dogs when we had our ice cream stand run by the Gill family. We had great chili dogs, and I would eat those like every day. Put a little cheese on it, chili cheese.
Oh, now you're talking to Daddy.
Yeah.
Now you're talking to Baba in the language that he likes, that runny cheese stuff. I was in Philly last week, and I had a cheesesteak. I had chicken cheesesteak with cheese whiz.
Chicken cheesesteak?
Yeah.
Why the chick?
I had the day before, I had like a delicious patty melt. Okay. And I was like, too much beef.
Yeah, I hear you.
And I wanted to go chick. I made the wrong decision. Okay. But the cheese was so good.
Yeah, the cheese whiz is apparently the real Philly way to do it, right? Not, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Philly rules.
Philly. Eric,
saw somebody get knocked out. We should not. I don't know.
Are you bagging on the talented brother to love? Was that what the last
name was? No, this guy was like this really cool buff dude. There was like a drunken couple fight that was starting to get sort of violent.
Oh.
And it was really, really bad. But then this dude just calmly walked across the street with his backpack still on, just knocked the dude out, and then walked away.
Wow.
Yeah, Philly doesn't play. Philly's just like, there's just like good-hearted boxers. All right, I talked too much.
Eric, I'm just checking the clock here in the Spacious Forever Dog Studios.
I'm sorry.
I think it's...
I forgot about...
Well, no, it's just time You know what time it is right now?
Is it 9?
Yeah, it's time for the NUP News at 9. Let's play that music. NUP News at 9 with the NUP Boys. We're fine. Okay. God.
Can we start calling ourselves the NUP Boys?
I thought, yeah. Well, I always considered us NUP Boys.
A couple of NUPies.
A couple of knuckleheads.
That's good. Thanks. That's pretty good.
Okay. This is the Nuptials News at 9. NUP News, which we always recommend if you're not listening to this at 9 a.m. or 9 p.m.
And now the NUP News at 9.
Yeah. So
that should be
good. Yeah. Or on the 9s. I'd be okay with it being on the 9s. Like
so much of a mouthful, I don't want to say it.
Oh, okay. So yes, 9 a.m. or 9 p.m.
And now
the NUP News at 9. Okay, what do we got in the NUP News? Oh boy. Oh, this is fun. So we've been doing our big royal rundown. We just got over that big hump, you know, Meghan Markle, right. All that.
The royals never ends for me anyway. It's a lifestyle.
No, I have a Google alert. Mm-hmm. Meghan Markle Google alert. So this one popped right up. Mm-hmm. Now I am going to read, there are several news outlets carrying the story. I'm going to read the Fox News publishing of this because it has some details I want to get into that others didn't.
The gory stuff. You want the gory stuff.
I want the gory stuff. I want the truth. I want the truth. That's why I go to Fox News. Meghan Markle's ex-husband engaged shortly after the royal wedding, Eric.
Huh. Isn't that convenient?
Huh. Trevor Engelson is engaged to girlfriend Tracy Curlin following ex-wife Meghan Markle's marriage to Prince Harry on May 19. Now, do you think this is something it had to be something he was aware of, right? When he was planning out his engagement to his new fiance?
It seems like it. Yeah. It seems like he's definitely planning on getting some of that limelight for his own. This seems like a forced job to me, a rush job, if you will.
Oh, you don't think he really loves his.
I don't think so. I don't think so at all.
Oh, no. Okay.
Also, them breaking up in the first place is probably his fault because he couldn't handle her career taking off and like couldn't deal with her shooting suits in Toronto, which is like.
Well, distance is hard, Eric. I mean,
distance is hard, but it's also like you have to know that your partner is a actor and sometimes, and you got to, you know, more than you're a slinger. You know what it's like.
I sling. I'm a Dan Gil Corpuchil. I sling. I'm down to sling.
You know, you got to take it where you can get it, honey. And I feel like this guy, this Trevor.
You don't know anything about the situation. You're putting a lot on Trevor's plate.
No, I know everything about the situation because I know Trevor's. I know Trevor's back and forward.
Ooh, this is
a Trevor. I can just see people. I mean.
Look, he's a producer in his own right. I don't know how jealous he was. It just didn't work out. You can't rake this guy. You rake the coals. What is the saying? You can't hold his feet to you can't hold his feet to the rake, Eric, because you don't know the details. Also, his ex-wife became a fairy tale princess, and everybody loves her, and that she's with Harry now. That's got to be a hard pill. Come on.
I don't think so.
Cut the guy a break.
I don't think it's a hard pill at all. And also, I feel like it's reactionary to just rush out and have a wedding after having witnessed such a royal wedding.
Well, you know, maybe he's just living his own life, you know, because you got to move on. Is he supposed to just hit pause on his life?
This isn't just like a, like, people just haven't you learned anything from our royal wedding coverage about how people will do anything to latch on to that royalness?
Yeah. I mean, well, we did
it. Royal magic.
Yeah. Huh? We did it.
I was already part of it. But like, you know, people want to fucking latch. I feel like it just, I don't know. Maybe I'm too good at picking produce. Maybe I don't know. Maybe I know I could smell a bad fucking peach when I smell a bad peach.
Wow. Well, I'm reading further on now. Ingelsson has moved on from his relationship with the now Duchess of Sussex. The TV producer was said to have pitched a TV series loosely based on his relationship with Markle and her marriage to the British royal family.
Isn't that interesting?
Okay.
So how interesting is that?
That's a little curious, if you ask me.
Is it curious?
That's a little curious.
Is it
curious.
Peculiar even?
It's a peculiar, yeah. But the 41-year-old got wise. It seems he has since pulled the plug on the idea after reportedly talking to some of Markle's friends. So he wised up, at least. He's not going to air all their dirty
laundry.
I don't
know about that. That's a nice way of saying that the royals were like, don't do this. Cease and desist, my bruv.
Yeah.
It's like a Guy Ritchie movie, right, bruv? But it's like the most boring one, right? Instead of shooting you, here's a cease and desist order, yeah?
Boy.
Cease and fucking desist.
Okay, so that was a fun little nup news. It is very, very curious.
If Guy Ritchie made a Nancy Myers movie,
I'd see it. Two, please.
All right.
Let's wrap up the nup news at 9. Let's play that music out because... Nup news at 9. Grumzillas. I said Grumzillas, by the way.
Grooms.
Pretty happy about.
I like grooms.
Grooms with a Z, yeah.
Three Zs.
That's who we be. Oh my God. Oh, Eric, it's time for I Do's, I Don'ts. Play that music.
Oh, yes.
This I Do's, I Don'ts, warning, disclaimer, might get a little blue. We're talking about some sex stuff here.
You are so...
I am from Iowa.
I know, but that doesn't mean anything.
It means I grew up in the Midwest?
No, that...
I'm clutching my pearls.
I hate when Midwestern people put that shit on, like, they're like, oh, we're so much better at being people than you because we're from a place that is landlocked.
We're better...
How does that make sense?
We're better at not talking about stuff, Eric. We're so reserved.
That's fair.
I'm clutching...
It's just sex.
I'm clutching my pearls. No, I'm clutching my pearls right now. I don't even want to read.
You look really good at pearls. Get pearls.
I don't even want to read this headline. But this I Do's, I Don'ts comes to us from Eric DeDorian and Cosmo.
Cosmopolitan.
Are you reading Cosmo on the reg? Or how did you find
it
this one?
It just came up on my Twitter feed. You know me.
Okay. Cosmopolitan. Woman's husband likes to leave fruit in her vagina all day long so he can eat it later. Subheadline, sometimes carrots too.
Yeah.
I do's, I don'ts.
You go first, Emily Post.
Well, let's just, should we explain a little more? That's pretty self-explanatory.
No, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Sheesh. Okay. I'm just going to say I don't right out of the gate.
Okay.
Because as it explains in this article, it doesn't seem too healthy for the woman, or maybe the man.
No.
I don't know.
I don't think it's healthy for anyone.
I don't think it's healthy physically. I don't think it's healthy emotionally.
Except for the pocketbooks for everyone over the CEO of Dole.
Oh, they're really doling out the. Listen,
wait. That's Bob. That's Bob Dole. Never mind.
Oh. Ugh. That's and Teresa Hines.
No.
We have bottomed out here.
You hate it. I wanted to make a joke about it. Like, this guy is like, you know, I think he is. He's trying too hard. He's trying too hard. These male feminists, they try too hard.
I agree. Also, and we're not. About them. And Eric, we should specify, we're not kink shaming here by saying I don't, right?
Did your lawyer just text you that for you to say that?
Yeah, we have a Forever Dog on retainer here. A lawyer on retainer for Forever Dog. Good lawyer. I don't know how he hears this broadcast before we drop it, but he just...
He's a signal chaser. To me, he's a signal chaser.
Yeah. But no, we're not. We aren't kink shaming. Maybe I am. Who cares? Shame is appropriate sometimes. That's how I feel.
Oh, buddy.
I'm from Iowa.
Oh, bro.
I'm from
Stop
Iowa.
Stop saying that.
What do you think I do, I don't, on the vagina fruit?
I mean, my thing about the art, I mean, I think that, you know, I'm pissed I didn't think of it first. It's one of those ideas. It's like The Office, you know, when they're like, I remember when The Office came out, my thing was like, ah, shit, I should have fucking stolen the British.
A workplace comedy?
I should have stolen the British office.
Uh-huh.
And this is exactly how I feel now. But it's like, I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of put off by how much of this is like driving. Like, the dude doesn't have to put anything in his, I guess he has to eat the fruit, but.
Yeah.
So I guess that's pretty, I mean, but she, I mean, I worry about the health of the woman because of toxic shock syndrome is so scary.
Yeah. I mean, the doctor does pipe in. If you're not going to use barrier devices such as condoms or plastic wrap to avoid bacteria.
Pipe in is a good word there. Dr. Puff-a-Lot. Dr. Puff-a-Lot's like, I don't know.
they say, I don't know if it's a man or a woman. The doctor, use condoms or a plastic wrap to avoid bacteria / yeast infection, yeast access to sugars in the fruits and vegetables. If you're not going to use a condom, choose fruits / vegetables with an especially waxy skin, as apples or cucumbers that function.
Or mango.
Bacteria. Okay. So I understand playing with things in with your genitals. I do on that because that's what sex is technically. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Well, the whole thing with leaving it in all day and then I have to come home and I'm a bad little boy. I gotta like what?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing? I can't.
I don't know.
If she's into it, fine. Seems dangerous. Seems
it doesn't not to me. What I'm put off by is that it does not seem like her idea. And usually when it's stuff like that, that is not her idea. Yep. I'm not. I want to be like okay, maybe
it sounds
just
like
go,
he's.
Just go eat a peach.
I mean,
My wife eats fruit. Like, she's very, she can wax very erotically about fruit because she's a cook and a chef and she loves fruit.
Yeah.
She loves like mango. She thinks mangoes are particularly very
sensual.
Sensual is the, yeah.
Yeah.
And if you've ever tried to eat a mango, I mean,
yeah,
it's hard. So it's hard not to get a boner.
Okay, are you and I do on this then? You're clutching your pearls right now. You can't see this
I'm
at
not
home.
I'm clutching my fucking butt pearls that are up my fucking ass.
Whoa, kink. Kink positive.
I'm clutching my pearls in my butt cheeks.
Okay.
I'm gonna look out for that hot tweet coming up as soon as we're done with this podcast.
You're looking at like 6 or 7 likes, maybe.
I wanted to make this silly, and you made it serious. I mean, of course, I don't like because I just feel like
I'm sorry. This is Groomzilla's I Do's I Don'ts, one of our staple segments, and we are never silly here. We answer the questions people want to.
Well, I'm going Pirate Radio.
Great film, Richard Curtis.
I didn't know. Yeah,
been a guest here.
It is a good film. Slept on film.
Slept on. I like it. Okay. So you're an I don't, right? Two I don'ts. Don't eat the
I don't know. I don't know.
You're an I don't know?
I want to see what Terry Crews thinks about this. If Terry Crews is down, I'm down.
Okay. So maybe we'll put a pin in that for next week. Either way, let's close up the fruit vagina bag.
Boop, boop.
Wow. We got to get right into this because we have a nice long chat with Travis. Get into some real stuff. He has some great advice. Seems like a guy. Seems like a guy with a good head on his shoulders.
And a great relationship.
Yeah. So stick around. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back with more Groomzillas. Thanks for listening. Welcome back to Groomzillas. We're sitting in here in the spacious Forever Dog Studios with Travis McElroy. Travis, thanks for joining us.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, it's me, Travis. Hi. Hi, everybody.
We were just talking wedding rings. You said you lost your wedding ring?
Okay, so when Teresa and I were first getting married, I actually got two wedding rings because I was working as a theatrical carpenter at the time, and I didn't want to wear like my nice ring in the shop. So I got this really plain like titanium band.
Okay.
But then I also had like the really nice like ring that was like this beautiful carved thing that like I actually used in the ceremony. And
yeah,
but it was slightly too big. Like my finger was like perfectly between two, like a half size and a full size.
Okay.
And so one night I was out to dinner and it was me and my wife and our friend Hal Loveland. I was talking and I like flung my hands out in a gesture and it just flew off and perfectly landed in what was a gap. What I must imagine was the perfect width of the ring between like these booths and the wall. And they were like attached to the wall. They were not removable. And so for like 20 minutes, all these other patrons and staff at the restaurant, like, well, let's see it. And I was like suddenly just getting so embarrassed. I was like, it's fine. Yeah. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And the host, bless her heart, took my number. And she said, if we ever do any renovations, I'll give you. I was like, okay, cool. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Like Teresa's not upset. I was not upset. It was like, okay, well, I'll just get a different one. I'm not sentimental with things. Like, I'll just replace it.
Yeah.
But like everybody was like, oh, your wedding ring. I was like, okay, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
It's good.
Is this pre-Yelp or post-Yelp?
What?
Oh, is this pre-Yelp or post-Yelp?
I think it's post-Yelp. I should have left like, I like the food. I didn't care for the gap in the booth.
Well, now you can go visit your ring.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very special.
It's right like here. Once my child's older, I'll just point her to the booth.
Well, you're lucky it wasn't like a family heirloom or something, or else you might have been ripping that booth out.
Right. And here's the thing. Like, if it had been my wife's ring, it would have been a big deal. But my ring was like $100. You know what I mean? Like,
that helps.
It wasn't fancy. You know, it was just, I liked it. And so I just got an exact duplicate of it. You know what I mean? It's like, you know,
it's really funny to lose something, but also know where it is and just not be able to get
right?
to it.
Oh, it's the same feeling as when I know that, like, you know, I owe somebody money for like a bill or something. And for some reason, it's difficult to pay them. And I'm like, just let me give you money. And they're like, okay, well, you're going to need to come down here. And I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. Just let me give you money. Why won't you take my money?
So your wife, Teresa, how long have you guys been married?
We've been married. It's such a good question. Almost 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is that a good question? Seems pretty straightforward
question.
Here's the
thing.
Did you hear me whisper a good question?
Yeah, good question. For some reason, in my head, always swap 2014 and 2013.
Oh.
Because... No, you're right. We have been married almost 5 years.
Oh, okay. That's why you just did it.
Well, because we got married in 2013 and then we moved to Los Angeles in 2014.
Oh, okay.
And so like those are like back to back within a year, huge like events.
Life events.
And I can never remember the years. So like I can never remember if we got married in 2014 or 2013.
Okay.
We got married in 2013 and then moved to LA for 2 years in 2014 and then moved back to Cincinnati in 2016.
Okay. Where in LA did you live?
We lived at first in Culver City, and then we moved to the Valley and lived.
Nice.
Oh, I can't remember the name of the place we lived in the Valley.
Sherman Oaks.
No.
Reseda.
No.
Northridge.
No.
Mission Hills.
No. You're doing great, though.
Chatsworth?
It was like.
Was it Chatsworth?
No. Now it's like.
North Hollywood.
Yeah, it was North Hollywood, I think, but I can't. There was like a specific part of North Hollywood we were in. I can't remember.
Oh,
anyways, but so yeah, so like in that string, and it also doesn't help that my little brother and his wife got married. Like we got married October 6th, 2013.
Okay,
and they got married December 7th, 2013. So like 2 months later, but then so I can never remember if it's the 6th or the 7th. You know what I mean? Because it's like one of them's the 6th and one of them's 7th.
Well, December 7th is easy because that day lives in infamy.
Yeah.
It's Pearl Harbor Day.
Because it was so... Oh, okay. I was going to say because it was cold in Texas during their outdoor wedding.
Oh. well, for some people, I'm sure.
Abnormally, I would say cursedly cold. Uh-huh. The day before, it was... Because they did in December in Austin, Texas. And like the day before the wedding, it was like 70 degrees. Day of the wedding, like 28 degrees.
Of course.
Day Yikes. After the wedding, 65 degrees.
There it is.
Yeah.
All right.
It was weird. Yeah.
Did you take that as an omen? I hope not.
I did. Okay. No. So we got married and... You know, it's interesting, too, because if anybody is falling into any stereotypes and like, oh, you can't remember your anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
My wife is worse at it than I am.
Oh,
like, yeah. Routinely, I'm the one who's like, should we do anything for our anniversary? And she's like, oh, I mean, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. If
is
you
it
want
coming
to.
Up? Oh, sure.
Okay.
Do you make a point of like going out on dates, though? Like when you're like, we're overdue for a date. Like,
yeah, you know, especially. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. And maybe this is dorky, but like we really like going out as a family. And like it's what our baby is travels very well. And we've been taking her to restaurants since she was 3 weeks old. So like she's really good on it.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
like we take her out all the time, especially because of my podcast lifestyle. We tour a lot. So like we travel as a family and like because of my brother and me being like a family thing and all of our shows are like very family oriented. We all like when we go on tours, like we take our whole families with us.
Uh-huh.
And so
that's
like,
awesome.
Yeah. So it becomes like our dates are often like. Like all three of us hanging out.
Yeah.
And that will probably change when she gets a little bit older and she's like three and four.
But
when she's a teen. But right now at 18 months, it's just like we really enjoy her company a lot.
Yeah.
So it's fun to take her to places with us.
Yeah.
Because she's not just a total turd yet.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes when she's like four.
Yeah. And that's the way you like it. You don't ever think, let's get the sitter tonight and have it just be us two.
The only time that happens is like for movies. Because like, I don't think Bebe would sit through the Avengers, you know?
No.
Because she talks to the screen.
Well, and so we end up, Teresa and my dates are, she talks back. She's like, wait, hold
on. Her phone.
That would never happen.
Yeah.
I've read the comics. Since,
it's not good baby representation.
No, I hate this. Where's the cartoons? Why isn't Daniel Tiger in the Avengers? Teresa
Daniel
and my.
Tiger's huge.
Oh, God, Daniel Tiger's so good, you guys. When Teresa and I go on dates, just us, it's usually like during the day.
Uh-huh.
Like, we'll go to a movie at like 10 o'clock in the morning, which I'll tell you a secret, is the best time to go to movies.
That's my favorite time.
Love
that is my favorite
so
time.
So great.
Yeah.
Oh,
the coffee,
it's amazing.
Oh, forget about it. That's how I saw the Social Network. I'll never forget it.
Especially if you can do it on like a weekday.
Yeah.
There's like roll up to a movie like on a Thursday at like 10 a.m.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
That's fucking heaven for me.
It's
that's
so
my,
good.
That's my good place.
I love it. We do stuff together because it's gross, but we like each other's company. So, like, my wife and I hang out a lot. It's
so
great.
Gross.
It's so gross, you guys.
Yeah.
And then we, you know, talk about how great we are all the time. But, like, so Teresa and I do a podcast together called Schmanners.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that's really fun because we get to travel with that show sometimes. And, like, it's also really nice to have, I mean, it's not a hobby. It's our job. We get paid to do it. But it also is nice to have this, like, shared endeavor.
I was going
to
say, you work together. You live together. And it never becomes too much for either one of you?
No. I mean, the thing is like, we are both somewhat, I think, in a healthy level of independence.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we like to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also is like, okay, well, I'm going to go play video games while you watch this TV show. Okay,
right.
I'll see you in an hour.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, like, having
That's
that
so
nice...
Huge.
Yeah, yeah. It's a nice little break, but it's not like we still do hang out.
Right.
You know, and one of the things, so working from home is really weird, especially like because my job is amorphous. Like I work for myself, I work from home, and rarely are there deadlines. So it's like I have to like kind of set this artificial boundary of like, okay, I work from 9 to 5.
Yeah.
But and the trade off there is like, okay, so I can't help unless you absolutely need me.
Yeah.
But also at 5 o'clock, I stop.
Right.
And so because with an amorphous thing, and this happened a lot early on working at home where I would work till like 8 or 9, was it's just like, okay, why not? I'm still at home. I don't have. And so like, I suddenly, you know, she'd come in and be like, well, I'm going to bed. And I'm like, well, I haven't seen you all day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I had to set hours for myself.
Yeah.
So are you hanging with the baby too that whole time?
Sometimes. Like that's one of the really nice things about working from home. But once again, I still had to set a weird boundary for Teresa.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing. Like, some days, you know, my workload is pretty light. And like, you know, if you need me to watch her for an hour while you take care of something, you got it.
Yeah.
But like, I do have to kind of reel myself in because I do want to hang out with the baby. You know, I want to chill with her. She's super fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if I start doing that, then stuff, you know, isn't getting done and I'm falling behind. And because there's no deadlines and it's amorphous, it's really easy for stuff to pile up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How did you meet your wife?
Well, I was dating her roommate. So I was,
you made the switch.
Yeah. So I was sort of dating her roommate.
cute.
Yes, it was very cute. So I was kind of dating my, I just got a text from my wife telling me that my baby tried to stand up in the bathtub and slipped and now has a bruise on her forehead. She's fine.
No.
She's fine. She's a very resilient child. So I had they're rubber. I had gone on a few dates with her roommate. But it like wasn't going. It was super, super casual. And then we stopped seeing each other. And she at the time when we met was also like in a long-term relationship with a guy of like 2 years. And then they broke up unbeknownst to me. And then we ran into each other at like a theater after party like 6 months later.
Mm-hmm.
And I really felt like she was flirting with me. But I was like, but she has this boyfriend.
Yeah.
And then afterwards I was talking with my little brother. And I was like, yeah, it's so weird. I felt like she was flirting with me. He was like, yeah, well, she broke up with that guy. And I was like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
So he started dating after that, which I thought I was being like super casual and laid back. And she did not. She thought I was being really not aggressive is not a good word, but I was very tenacious, I think was maybe a better word.
Mm-hmm.
Our first date ever. So I really love this story. So our first real date. Our first real date, I'll tell about it in a second because it's very romantic.
Okay.
But this is very embarrassing. So I was like straight out of middle school. I was like, well, what I'll do is I'll arrange a group hangout so I can spend more time with her and get to know her better. But the mistake I made was I asked her first and she was like, yeah, totally. And then everyone I asked after that was busy.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, it's just going to be her night. So I made Griffin, my little brother, go with us.
Okay.
And he was like, this is going to be so weird. And like straight out of a sitcom, he was like, this is going to be weird. I'm like, it's not going to be weird. Jump cut to it being weird.
Yeah.
Very weird.
And so like my little brother went on our first date. And then our next.
How old was he?
He at the time was like 23, I think. And I was like 26.
I thought he was like 12.
No. He was old enough to be it. But it was also like, we all three knew exactly what was going on.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, this is weird. But it was still fun. We still had a good time.
I'm glad you went through with it and didn't pull the ripcord.
I really liked her.
Get out of here.
She was just so cool.
Yeah.
And so then our actual, like, real first date, we were going to go see a movie. And we ended up getting there, like, 15 minutes late. And so we're like, well, we'll get tickets to the next showing. Yeah, it was like 10:15 a.m. Uh-huh. And we're like, well, we'll get tickets to the next showing. And we'll just, like, hang out in this bar until that's showing.
Yeah.
And so we sat in the bar and we were talking. And, like, an hour and a half flew by. I said, like, hey, I kind of don't want to see the movie. I just want to keep talking to you. And she was like, okay. And I ran over to the theater and returned the tickets. And we ended up sitting there and talking for, like, 4 hours.
Yeah.
And so we moved in together after 3 months.
Oh, wow. Hitting the gas.
Well, so like, and we also unofficially got engaged at that point because we had a conversation in which our leases were expiring on our separate apartments.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, listen, we could get two different apartments and like spend the night at each other's houses for a year.
Right.
Or we could just move in together.
Okay.
And she said, well, I don't want to move in with anyone unless I know that I'm going to marry them. And I said, oh, I'm going to marry you. And she said, oh, okay, let's move in together.
Oh, wow.
And so then we lived together for about 2 years and like I got engaged about a year and a half into that.
Officially.
Yeah, like with a ring and everything.
Yeah.
One of my favorite moments is at one point, I think a year in, I looked at her and said, hey, I don't have a ring yet, but I'm ready to propose to you. And she's like, okay, we're already engaged, so don't worry about that. But, like, we're not going to be engaged until I have a ring to show people and, like, make it official. So, like, no. I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Fair.
And then,
just checking. Okay, bye.
Okay, cool. I just thought maybe you would want that, but you don't, so that's fine.
Uh-huh.
And then we had the most, I would say, utilitarian engagement. Like, me proposing to her was so utilitarian because, like, we ordered the ring together.
Okay.
And, like, we made it, like, we, you know, made it on.
Picked it out.
Yeah, and, picked it out together. So she knew what day it was coming.
Uh-huh.
And so she had told me, like, when you get here, propose right away.
Uh-huh.
Don't wait. you know, don't feel the need to do anything.
Yeah.
Like, babe, just fucking give it to me. And right. I was like, okay, cool. And so then we both were in two different shows that night. And so, like, I came home from work. She came home from work. We literally got there at the exact same time.
Uh-huh.
I had her walk in the door first. I came in. I handed her flowers and a bottle of champagne. I got down on a knee. I proposed. She said yes. I said, okay, great. I've got to get ready for my show now. And she said, okay, yeah, me too. And then we were out the door 45 minutes later. Yeah, it was just like, okay, cool. We know what's up.
Yeah,
well,
because
that's the thing is, like, on some, like, we were basically, from the time we moved in together, mm-hmm. we felt very married.
Right.
Like, there was no... Yeah. There was never a question of, like, are we going to be together? Like, right. there was never a conversation about it. It was never a thing we had to figure out.
Yeah.
Like, we just really clicked on a level that I've never clicked with anyone else. Uh-huh. And so, like, when we got married, people kept asking me, like, does it feel different? I was like, absolutely not. No. Feels exactly the same as it did before.
Yeah. Yeah. So are you conservative background? What's your background like as far as a religious, just based on her saying, I don't want to live with someone unless I know I'm going to marry
well,
him.
For
I guess that's more of a question for her.
Well, so that was not on a religious basis. That was more of like, you know, at that point, she had had like two different long-term relationships that she had thought, especially one where they had begun discussing marriage and they'd been together for like 3 years.
Okay.
Where like this was like, okay, but like I don't want to take that step.
She just didn't
until
wanna,
like we
yeah.
know because
yeah.
like didn't want a third.
She's been and, down that road.
Yeah. And okay. like the two dudes before were the ones who like after being together forever were just like, oh, you know what? No, maybe no. And like, no, then there's me who was just like, yeah, no, definitely. Like, we're definitely going to get married. Don't even worry about that.
Right.
And so it was more of just like, this is a big move to move into a house together, like to move in together and buy stuff together and like start building this thing to then turn around and like
at break, 3 months, especially. Yeah.
Right. Like, to then break up and be like, well, what do we do with the couch?
Yeah.
And so this was like, oh, yeah, no, like I couldn't. Already 3 months in, I was like, I can't see a life without you.
Had you lived with someone before that as well?
No. I mean, I'd never lived with anybody. I mean, I'd had roommates.
Sure.
But it was also, so let me be really braggy for a second and explain why my relationship with my wife is so great.
Yeah.
What, from the word go, when we first started dating, we were like oddly, honestly communicative with each other. And where that came from in the beginning was that I was very social in my 20s. And so like, I really liked going out to places. And she was more of like a stay at home. And not that she never went out, but like for her, you know, once or twice a month was fine. And like, I routinely, especially doing theater with a bunch of people, was like, well, you know, I know we went out the last two nights, but there's an after party tonight, so let's go.
Right.
You don't even think about it in your 20s. Right. Like, you're just like,
I'm just doing it. We're doing it. Oh, there's a Halloween party. And then, right.
Yeah.
And so we had to one day have this conversation that was like, okay, sometimes I'm going to want to go out and you're not going to. Right. So what needs to happen is we need to talk about it. And if you don't care, if you say, I don't care if you go, I'm not going to go, but it's fine if you do.
Uh-huh.
You have to mean it.
Right.
And like, if I say it's important to me that you go with me on this, right?
Right.
If I say it's okay if you don't go, I have to mean it.
Right.
And like, there will be some days where it is important to you that I stay home, and that is totally fine.
Yeah.
And you can say, and there are some days where it's going to be really important that you go to a thing with me, and I will say it.
Yeah.
But if we don't say it to each other, we're going to get angry at each other and like hold this weird resentment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so that from that point forward, that was kind of what became our mode of communication is like, if you say it's okay, if I say it's okay, if you say this, we have to mean it. Because if we don't,
it's, no games.
Yeah.
It's so easy to like want to spare feelings though. Cause it's so easy to be like, no, I'm actually doing the right thing when you're not. Cause you're like, you want to go out and you want to do that thing where it's like, you want to be open about that and you think you can't, but you just have to. Cause otherwise, ultimately, it's just going to fucking blow up.
Right, because what you don't want to do is build this weird animosity about a thing that's really not a big deal.
Right.
But you just aren't saying it. And so then it's like 6 months in, you're like, okay, you never. And it's like, see, but if you had just the first time said like, okay, well, is it okay with you if I go? Okay, thank you. Or and if she were to say like, no, I'd really like you to stay home tonight, I'd say like, okay, cool, thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like then that kind of began to carry over into like every conversation we would have where it's like, okay, are you like, how would you like this to go now? And like, what are you feeling? And or we'd like catch ourselves saying something or responding in a way and saying like, you know what, I'm sorry. Let me explain. The reason I feel this way, the reason that I said that was because I'm feeling like this, and like that made me think about this.
Right.
And that's where it was. And it, the thing is like that kind of level of honesty of saying like, hey, let me explain to you why I'm feeling like I'm feeling right now is really, really, really terrifying at first. Right. Because sometimes it's not even just like, oh, opening yourself up. Sometimes the reason you feel away is dumb. Like sometimes it's like, it's just that like when I was six and it's like, okay, cool. And it would be very easy for the other person to be like, no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
And it's the worst when you can watch yourself being a child and you're like, oh my God, don't do this. But you just can't help it because you are in fact a child.
Right. And say, I know I shouldn't care about this, but I do. For some reason, this really matters to me.
Yeah.
But and I think this is a testament to Teresa too, is like when we have those conversations of like, hey, I know that this seems dumb, but this is really important to me.
Right.
Right.
Having a partner who's like, okay, then it's important to me too. And like, I'm not doing this for you. We are doing this together. And it really is just, I don't know how I got so lucky to be in this type of partnership, but I would wish it on everybody.
Yeah. Is that something you think is just special between the two of you? Is that a kind of person you are in all your relationships? Why do you think you're so open and honest with each other?
I am not that way. In fact, I am very non-confrontational in with other people. And I tend to like it, like from like retail employees to my best friend, just saying like, oh, that's fine. Oh yeah, no, don't worry about it. And then I just like quietly seethe in a corner. And I think it was just like a realization of like, if we're going to do this and build this thing together,
there's no point.
We have to be on the same page.
Yeah.
And so like, I think there was also a decision I made, like whether I made it consciously or not, of just like, I want this person to know me.
Yeah.
Like I want this person. And still there's things now, like we've been together almost 8 years now and there will still be things, over 8 years. There will still be moments where I'm like, hey, can I tell you something? Like, here's the thing about me that's really like weird or that like I'm embarrassed about. And she's like, okay, cool. And I'm like, and it's like this weird, like by degrees, this person getting to know you is so rewarding. I think that was it, is because of the like social discussions of like going out or staying in. That was like, wow, this is really working out. This is really rewarding.
Who knew?
What if we just kept doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Communicating.
Because you get that twin goodness of actually saying something out loud and being immediately like told by someone that it's totally fucking cool.
Yeah.
So you get like, you get that feeling for yourself and you're like, oh shit.
Well, and also I will say, I give most of the credit for this to Teresa, because also she put in a lot of emotional labor very early on to help me get over this thing that I think a lot of, and I'm going to say dudes, but probably just a lot of people mistakenly do, which is try to fix someone else's problem when they are upset.
Yeah.
And this is a thing that I, like Teresa would be stressed out about something at work.
Just
and
listen.
I'd be like, well, let's go do something fun then. And she she was like, no, that's not what I need right now.
I'm venting.
I want to talk to you. And I just want you to say, oh, yeah, oh, that sucks. And that's really hard for me because and the thing is, what I've learned since is at the time I would have said, but I want to help. But what I actually learned I was doing, and this is just from my own independent research and thinking about it, what I was actually doing was like, oh, I am uncomfortable that this person is upset and I want it to go away so I don't have to be uncomfortable.
Interesting.
And that's what performers do. Like that's what performers, that's their whole
give
fucking
gift. Yeah, that's what I do. Oh, it's like, I'm going to cheer you up. Look at me over here.
Yeah.
Right. And so like, I wasn't actually trying to help Teresa. I was trying to make her stop being upset so that it wasn't upsetting to me.
You,
Yeah. Where it's like, well, I don't want to have to worry about this, you know? And it's the thing is like, in if you think about it, that kind of helping is very selfish.
Yeah.
Because it's not really giving the person what they need.
Yeah.
It's more just like, hey, could you stop crying in front of me?
Yeah.
Like, why don't we distract you so that you don't cry in front of me?
Yeah.
And that's not that's not a good way to go. And so like those kinds of discussions. And the thing is like I am a narcissist and I am, and I mean that I mean it literally.
Flippantly,
And so like it's, but I am I like to say a recovering narcissist, where like if you had known me when I was like 23, like I was a shit. I was a shithead. And now
as a 23-year-old? That's weird.
I know, right? Can you believe it? When I was 18, real turd.
A 23-year-old dude who sucked?
I know, can you believe it? I was born in West Virginia, and I went to school in Oklahoma, and I was a 23-year-old white guy. And for some reason, strange. Not that there's anything wrong with West Virginia or Oklahoma. Right. I'm just including all of my backstory.
Yeah.
But so since then, and a lot of this has to do with like my relationship with Teresa, is like making I somewhere along the line made the decision of like, what if I didn't just stay the way I am now, mm-hmm. and instead tried to improve?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
like that, and also I think a big part of that was when we started doing the podcast and everything, I started getting like a lot more exposure and attention where people were giving me more feedback. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay. I could either choose to like ignore this and be like, ugh, can you believe the, or like listen to it and say like, what if I actually like consider these things that they're saying?
Yeah.
And somewhere along the line, the growth started to be in its own way, kind of like rewarding.
Yeah.
Because like, that's the thing is like, okay, I'm going to openly communicate with Teresa and like actually like work on listening to people and being present in the moment and not just thinking about myself. And that was really hard. But in doing it, I was like, oh, my life is getting better.
Yeah.
I'm happier now and I have this better relationship than I've ever had with anyone else.
Yeah.
What if I tried to do this with more people?
Yeah.
And I tried to be open and honest and listen to more people.
Yeah.
Just constantly try to be on a team, like in every way. Whereas like, it's the best when you find a partner who's like willing to work on stuff in the same way. And you're like, oh shit, like we could like do this together. And then it just opens it up. It's so hard to practice though. Like I say it and I like can't really, I don't really do it in my life, but I want to, and I can just kind of see it.
Right.
And it's slowly happening.
And that's the thing, a step in the right direction though.
Right. And doing the work, even if you're only on step two of 1,000, it's better than being at square one. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
To mix metaphors a little bit. Uh-huh. But, and it's also one of the interesting things, and one of the things that I really love about my marriage with Teresa is that support is a really interesting, like, double-edged sword, where, like, that doesn't always mean, like, saying yes, you know? Mm-hmm. It's I like to think of it, like, in improv, when you talk about, like, yes and. Mm-hmm. Yes and doesn't necessarily mean that your character is agreeing with the person. It means that you are agreeing, but you might be saying no as the character,
right?
Because that's how you agree with the other person. And so like there are things that like Teresa and I push each other on rather than just letting each other continue on a behavior. Like for example, Teresa doesn't like making plans too far away and like makes her really anxious. Mm-hmm. And so like when we plan a vacation or something like it's she'll say like, let's not talk about it. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
And that's how like, I am. I hate it too.
But see, I love making plans in advance. And so I'll say like, no, I know you're going to appreciate this when we're doing it.
Right. Yeah.
And every time we go and do something, she'll turn to me and say like, hey, thank you for making me do this.
Yeah. Right.
And then she immediately forgets again. And then I'm like, hey, what if we, and she's like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like, there is something about like, okay, I think what you need is this.
Right.
But I also have to really think about my own motivations and think like, am I doing this for selfish reasons and convincing myself that I'm helping you? And so like, there's a lot of that. And there's a lot of stuff Teresa does. Like, I don't know if you guys have noticed, I talk a lot.
Yeah.
And I tend to interrupt people. And like Teresa, if we're at a party or somewhere and I'm like interrupting people, but she'll just like gently lay her hand on my arm. And I'm like,
I love that. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice cue. Yeah.
I've seen that. I see that with like other couples and I just fucking, there's nothing I like more than that.
Right. I love
it. And then like, but especially like your response to that, which is like, oh, okay, cool.
Yep.
Like, cause a lot of dudes would not respond that way in that, in like, you know, there's, you know, wars or whatever. There's actually a war happening right now. Where's the first lady?
Well, one of the things is like, you know, that like, it sounds cliche, but like my wife is better than me at that. Like, so like we have a whole podcast in which she is the etiquette expert.
Right.
Like my wife is better at the social interaction side of it than I am.
Yeah.
And so like, if I tried to pretend like I wasn't, like, I was like, I think I'm doing fine. Like, no. She's better at this. She's doing great.
Yeah.
And like on the other side of it, like I'm more like spontaneous and like let's do something fun just for us.
Yeah.
That's frivolous and will help us. Like, that kind of thing is what I do, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Cameron Esposito and Rhea Butcher have that. If you ever see them like perform stand up together, Cameron will, you know, she'll talk and talk and talk, and it's like she's getting laughs and laughs and laughs and funny. And then like Rhea will just like sneak in with like one line and it's just fucking perfect and it fits perfect. And then that's like
one time I was hanging out with them. Me and Teresa were hanging out with Cameron and Rhea, and Teresa and Cameron were talking, and me and Rhea were talking, and that mixture, like, got along super great. And I realized that is because it's the same dynamic as when I'm talking to Teresa and Cameron's talking to Rhea. We had just switched like who was who. And I was like, oh, yeah, you guys have a very similar like
balance.
I'm the big one and I'm the sniper. Right. Like, you know, that kind of idea of I always think that it's cliche and it's hard to figure out sometimes. But finding someone who is enough like you that you get along great. But is like better and different than you in the things that you wish you were better and different in. Right. Yeah. And so like Teresa and I have so much in common, but we also our strengths and weaknesses like match up very nicely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it I don't know. I don't believe in like there's one true pairing of if there's one person out there, but like Teresa is a perfect fit for me, and like I feel very lucky to have that.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is I love my wife a lot. You guys,
there it is.
Yeah.
Going back to the planning thing, just as far as like a wedding goes, you guys got married and you planned a wedding. So does that give her did that give her anxiety as well?
Yes. Okay. Well, because like one of the things. So I don't know if you've picked up on it, like to be the center of attention, and so like. I was very much about like, this is our day.
Yeah.
We're going to do stuff
that's
that
how
we
I
want.
Was too.
Yeah.
And like my older brother who had been married for a couple years before was like, well, you have to know like the wedding's not really for you. I was like, bullshit.
Yeah.
Wedding for me.
Yeah. I don't get that.
This is for me.
I don't understand that logic. Yeah. It's not for you at all. It's for us. We're the ones getting married.
This is my wedding.
Right.
And so we also like didn't make a big deal. Like, so basically what we did is we ended up when we came to like, let's make a decision about this thing, we always on purpose chose what is the thing that will be the least stressful version of this. What is like the least stressful? What is the easiest way to do this?
Yeah.
Because we want to be able to enjoy the lead up to it. And we don't want it to be like, well, I hope that worked. Like we didn't want to worry about it.
Yeah.
And so like, originally we like for our food we were just gonna like go to Kroger and buy a bunch of like you know like big old plate of like fried chicken and like sides and what we're gonna do is get a bunch of fried chicken and ask our friends to like make sides and bring them and like just not worry about it. And in the end Teresa's parents were like, no, we'll figure out the catering so you don't have it. And like our wedding cake was like we just got like cheesecake bites, you know, like those like because like, I love cheesecake very much.
Yeah.
And like our wedding cake was cheesecakes from Cheesecake Factory because we were just like, that's what we want.
Yeah.
And it's fine. And we got married at a theater in town and like, it was great.
Yeah.
And like, it was wonderful. And so like, our wedding was very us, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because like, we didn't work. And so like, our friend who performed the ceremony, he was like, what do you want? And I was like, well, I've always thought that this thing was cool. And he was like, okay, then we'll do that. Mm-hmm. And like, that was about it. And so like, whenever we came to a decision point, we never thought, well, what we're supposed to do, we just said like, well, what do you want to do?
Yeah, right.
What's your thing?
Yeah.
What do you want to do?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, then we'll just do that.
I think that's becoming more of a common practice with people our age, not banking on tradition versus just, hey, let's make it about us. This is our thing.
And so like,
I feel like where we kind of slipped up a little bit was where we try to take it too. We tried to be too chill about it. Like you said, with the Kroger food and stuff, like, we kind of did that with a lot of different parts of our wedding. So everything kind of got left to the last minute. I mean, it was great. And it was, I talked so much shit about my wedding on this podcast.
I will say mine was not perfect.
I'm still stressed about it.
Mine was not perfect. If I could go back in time, the thing I regretted the most was rather than a band or a DJ or something, I just like made a playlist of music and put it on a thumb drive.
Yeah.
And I said, just like play that. And then like nobody danced and like that it never transitioned from the point of like ceremony to reception to just like chill after party.
Right.
Like the chill after party part never happened because you kind of underestimate the importance of having a human being, be it a band or a DJ or somebody who's like, I'm going to feel the energy of the room.
Yeah.
And,
right.
Like, so like the music will play and everybody's like, oh, this is fun. And it's like, yeah, but it wasn't what you need. The only time it danced, so my mother passed away when I was 21. And so for the mother-son dance part, I just encouraged everybody to come out and dance. And I made it seem like I was going to do this like tribute That's thing beautiful. To her. Uh-huh. And then what I played was her favorite like dance song, which is Play That Funky Music, White Boy. And like everybody danced to it. And it was this really funny, like, but also like my mom would have loved it, you know, kind of thing. And that was a moment where like literally everybody danced. Like there were people who like their, you know, husbands or wives came up to me like, I haven't seen them dance in 20 years. That was great.
Yeah.
And so like that's probably like one of my top like three favorite moments of the whole.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that was great.
How do you not dance to that bass line and with that sentiment behind it?
So good.
Yeah.
And also like my brothers and my dad were there. So like that was a fun moment for us. Because like we all appreciate, like Justin Griffin told me later, like, I didn't know what you were about to do. And I was so worried that it was going to be like super maudlin. And and I was like, oh, dude, that's such a bummer. Why? And he was like, but then it was Play the Funky Music, White Boy. It was great.
Yeah.
And like, so those kinds of moments where it's just like, oh, that's a very standout, very personalized thing I loved. Yeah. And so having just a playlist felt so impersonal.
Yeah.
That was like, I wish I would have just gotten a band or a DJ. Or something.
Yeah, that makes sense. I've known people who've done the playlist thing, and inevitably someone just goes over and grabs it and starts playing the things that they want to hear, which sometimes works. I going back to your point about your mom and being maudlin. My mother has also passed away, so she wasn't that. But I was worried about making it. Because you want to mention your mother.
Right.
Yeah.
But you also don't want to be like, my mommy's dead. Like,
we really worked super hard on the wording with our officiant of like, okay, how do we address like the families and the people that aren't here and the people that are passed on? And like, we really worked hard because what we didn't want was like, hey, everybody, you're here to celebrate our marriage, but also think about death.
Yeah.
And then like, so we really like fine tuned the language really hard. Because like, I wish my mom had been there.
Sure.
But I also like, don't want to make the day about that.
No.
And I feel like as a, just speaking as a wedding goer and as someone who has both my parents, thank God. I feel like in that moment, like to have like a really serious kind of sad moment is completely fine. Like it's not going to it's not going to like make the whole day or the wedding about that moment. But that moment, I mean, it's a moment because it's self-contained and it's a momentness. Oh boy. But like the wedding's going to go on. It's like, you know, it's kind of like, it's like telling, when you tell a joke that's like deeply sad and traumatic for yourself in person, like, and you, there's a punchline at the end of it, like it doesn't, to me, doesn't take anything away from the personal experience. Yeah.
I think what it was is once again, it was, I didn't make that decision for the people at the wedding. I think I made that decision for me of like,
that's huge.
I don't think my mom would want me to be sad she wasn't here.
For
I
sure.
think like, right. And so there was a lot of like thought about that. About,
I mean,
like,
clearly by her, judging by her favorite song, like definitely was not that kind of
what do I think my mom would want in this moment? And I don't think it would be sadness. It would be like her whole thing when she was passing away was like, choose joy. And she's talking about like, you know, like don't look on the bad part, like choose joy.
Yeah.
And so like that was like kind of our kind of rallying cry in the years after she passed. Fuck, of like, you know what, let's make the decision. And it's one of the reasons like we do the podcast and stuff is because my brothers and I, rather than like breaking apart and letting our family crumble, chose to like kind of unite in comedy and making jokes and cheering people up.
That is so rad.
Well, I mean, you know, you said earlier, like the performer of like, you know what, I'm going to make the choice now to like make jokes and like find humor and make comedy because that's what I would want here. You know what I mean? I want to laugh and I don't want to wallow in my own thing. Anyways, so that's the wedding. And so like that kind of stuff, when we came to those moments to make the decision, never felt like another thing that I felt bad about. I don't know how we could have fixed this. Is so like when we sent out invitations, there were a lot of people who RSVP'd, and then didn't show up, which was like a really, like, so at one point we were very worried because we had first built a list that had like 30 names more than there was room.
Right. Yeah.
And a lot of people were like, well, don't worry about it because you'll send it, you'll get a lot of no's. And we're like, oh, okay. But then it was really frustrating, like, how many people that were like, I was like, I haven't even heard back from you.
Right.
Like, what are you doing? And there was something about that that was, and I think it is because, like I said, recovering narcissist, there was something about like, this is my wedding.
Big time.
Why are you not coming to this?
Yeah.
Why are you being a jerk?
I got that. And you have to get over that because you assume it's like everyone will drop everything to be there for you. And then you're just like, there's so many, everyone's has a wedding. Like sometimes people can't be there. Like it's not the most important day in everyone's life.
Well, and also I had it explained to me. Well, my dad pointed out, like, because we're like all of our friends did theater, like the theater day off is a Monday. So we did the wedding on a Sunday night.
Okay.
And the problem with that is then people are less likely to travel to where you are because on a Sunday night, they would have to go back and catch work the next day.
Right.
And so like we had a lot of that and everything. So like there are like some minor things I would do differently if I could go back and do it again. But like the main 85% of the wedding, I was incredibly happy with, you know.
Well, that's pretty good. That's a B. That's a solid B.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's solid B.
Well, and the other 15% I didn't hate. You know what I mean? It was just like I would kind of tweak it a little bit.
Yeah. You don't hate any of it because it's still like this amazing moment that you can kind of like recall at any moment and to make yourself smile. But like,
I also regret another big regret is we didn't have a videographer.
That's too.
That's a big one.
Because I remember beforehand thinking like, well, we have a photographer. What does it matter?
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, but the ceremony, like it was really nice and went really well.
Yeah.
You know? And like, that moment with like play that funky music, white boy, was so fun. And
yeah,
you can't, don't really, so good.
And you don't really get that, you know, that energy in a photo, right?
Right.
Don't get me wrong. There's some photos of people dancing; they're absolutely wonderful. But it's like, oh man, I wish we had that moment on film.
Yeah, I understand that feeling, but Eric has brought this up before too. I disagree. I think having video evidence, and I just know this from doing stand up, and like, well, I just murdered on that show, and then you watch the tape, and like, oh, that's not really as good as I remember. Nine times out of ten, where I look at videos of something that I thought was just outstanding, it just doesn't live up to that moment in the video.
I think what I would want if I could do it is to tell the videographer, like, if there's 3 hours of footage, give me like a 10-minute highlight thing.
Yeah.
And like, that's what I want. I just want like a video montage.
Yeah.
Something for the tube.
Right. Especially now where like, you know, we have our daughter and she's like 19 months old.
Yeah.
And it's like, I wish I could show this to you. Cause that's like a thing that didn't exist. Like when my parents were getting married, you couldn't like easily videotape it.
It's like, oh, I bet you would love it.
Right. And I'm like, I wish I could watch my parents' wedding.
Yeah.
You know, like that's a thing that I didn't even think about. Like, this isn't necessarily for me.
Right.
This is a thing that like maybe my grandkids want to see my wedding.
Yeah, that's true.
And I wish I could go back in time and do that. But I will say can I tell you my absolute favorite thing?
Of course.
Please.
One of our wedding photos. So we ended up having like, I think like six people in my side of the party and like six in hers. And so what we did was we recreated the Last Supper like painting with Teresa and I sitting in the middle and like people, you know, standing and sitting and like looking at us and like we're pulling up the thing, all of our theater kids and our families and our, you know, and when it was like we were just about to start the reception and I was like, okay, we don't have time. Come on, let's go. And they're like, well, I think it'll be fun. I was like, okay, but we got to start the reception. And then we took it and I was like, this is amazing. Because we were like at a table with a black tablecloth and like white accent tablecloths and a black background. And like, so it's like really stunning.
Right.
Like as we pop out and it like Teresa and her like white veil and white dress as I'm like, you know, looking and someone's whispering in my ear. It's incredible.
Right.
And like, it's now like we
what
blew
did
it
you
up. I just had like a suit that I had like custom tailor made. And it was actually like charcoal and three piece and like
three piece.
Yeah. And I also like told my groomsmen, like, wear a suit. I don't want y'all to match. And then we had our wedding colors was like a gradient from green to blue.
Okay.
So like anything in there. And the same like with her bridesmaids, it was like, okay, wear whatever, as long as it's somewhere in this gradient.
Yeah.
So in the picture, it also is like this really nice, like
tapestry
color scheme of blue and green. And it's like, now we blew it up. It's like a giant photo that's like hanging over a fireplace. And like, I just love it so much.
Perfect.
It's such a standout.
That's so good.
Yeah. How many people were at the wedding?
I think we invited 100 and like 75 showed up, I think.
Yeah.
So like, it wasn't like nobody came.
Right.
But it was like, we had gotten like 90 RSVPs back. And it was like, where are you 15 people?
They didn't give you any excuse? Like, because we had some dropouts week of, which I think is pretty common. Like something comes up.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. If you're listening to this, people, most of them did give me a excuse. Screw you. You still owe me a present. No, most of them actually did send presents, which is nice. Well, we had a honey fund thing set up to help fund our honeymoon.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people just contributed to that, even though they couldn't make it. And a lot of people had reasons, but also a lot of people didn't. Or a lot of people were just like, I'm not going to be able to make it. I was like, why are you letting me know now?
Yeah.
Like, why did you RSVP? Yes.
Right. Yeah, that's frustrating. Where'd you go for your honeymoon?
We went to Scotland.
Oh, wow.
For a couple reasons, but mainly because, like, I am obsessed with the Loch Ness Monster. I was when I was a kid.
Nelly?
Yeah, I love Nessie so much. I named my first dog after her.
Okay.
And she was a Scottish Terrier named Nessie.
Perfect.
And so, like, and I used to just, there was something about the Loch Ness Monster that, like, 9-year-old Travis just adored.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, from 9 to, like, 12, I was just, like, deep.
Did
like
you
reading
like all
books
that
and studying
National Enquirer? Like, Bigfoot?
I liked all that stuff? I like cryptozoology in general, but there was something about, like, the Loch Ness Monster that was, like, really hooked me.
Okay.
And
Is it Nessie? I said Nelly. It's Nessie.
Nessie.
That makes
and,
more sense.
And I think the reason it hooked me was, like, as opposed to, like, Bigfoot, where it's, like, it could be anywhere at any time.
Yeah.
With the Loch Ness Monster, it's, like, it's there. It's somewhere there, you guys.
You're going to see it.
Yeah.
Trust me. And so, like, we spent part of the honeymoon at, like, Inverness, where Loch Ness is, and, like, went out on one of the boats that, like, there's a bar on the boat, but it also has, like, sonar and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like,
Holy shit.
And so, like, we just sat there, like, sipping scotch and, like, staring at the sonar.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah.
Sincerely was like overjoyed to be there. Like, I was standing on the bow of the ship, like looking around.
Yeah.
And even though I am skeptical about it, I like being there and standing on like leaning over the railing, there was a part of me that's like, okay, but like, what if I was the one who saw it? What if Nessie sees in my heart that I am understanding and that I'm the person that she can finally talk to?
I feel there's like a Disney movie element
has
to it.
Has your wife brought, has she like, was she, how does she feel about Nessie? Is she, did she like, has she like
once
taken
again,
it
was one of those
level?
Things where I was like, I know this is dumb, but this is really important to me. And she was like, you got it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So like the other side of that was like for, and we both really, really love like touring recreations, like anywhere where it's like, this is a pioneer village. Like we love, we eat that shit up.
Yeah.
And so like we, while we were in Scotland, we went to like a 14th century castle, a 15th century castle, a 16th century, like 14th to 18th century castle.
Yeah.
Like we visited any castle we could find.
Yeah, they have the castles.
Yeah. And so like there was so a 14th century castle that overlooks Loch Ness.
Perfect.
And so there's a ferry you can take and the boat stops there and then picks you up again and brings you back to where you started.
Uh-huh.
So like we started on the loch and then like went to the car. So like we made a whole thing of it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's the thing is like because I was able to say like, I'm going to tell this, I'm not going to be sarcastic about this or joke about it. This is a sincere, important thing to me that she was like, okay, you got it. Because originally our honeymoon was just going to be going to in the Highlands to a place called Ballater. And I was like, listen, we're going to Scotland. Could we just like for 2 days, spend like 2 days at a bed and breakfast in Inverness? And she was like, you got it. Yeah, let's do that. And so like, that's what we did. So like, and it was purely because of Loch Ness. Like,
Yeah, so the reason for going to Scotland was not Loch Ness. It was just a little cherry on the sundae.
Her parents had like a Hilton Rewards membership thing where they were like, we have, you know, 2 weeks worth of like hotel banked for like rewards and stuff. For it's not like a timeshare, but it's like a timeshare. And they were like, well, we have 2 weeks anywhere you want to go. You can pick
that. Sweet.
Yeah.
And so we went through like the catalog of Hilton hotels and like she wanted to go to Prince Edward Island in Canada and I wanted to go to Ireland and there wasn't a Hilton in either one of those, but there was in Scotland and we're like, okay, cool. That's like a good balance.
That's like the middle ground exactly in between those.
Scotland is kind of like a mix of Ireland and Canada. Perfect.
Yeah.
And so we did that and that was where it was really great because the resort thing was like individual cabins that like had kitchens and stuff. So like we went to, and it was right next to this like actual like town that was like one street that had like a butcher, a bank, a church, a bar,
like
that was it.
Yeah.
And so like we would go to the butcher and we'd buy food and we'd go back, we'd make it in our kitchen.
I love
and
that.
Like and so like that was amazing. That was great.
That's a dream.
That's the best part about for me and my wife when we go on vacation, like it's like if you can feel like you live in the place,
right,
that's the dream.
That was great. And like they and like it was like right next to this like I think it was Speyside. It was right next to like Spey. I think that's the river. But like, and we'd go to distilleries and we, you know, would just like walk in the mountains. It was wonderful. And like, it was truly magical. Like, that, I highly recommend the importance of a honeymoon is really like, it can often be understated. But I really think it was really great to like finish our wedding and then go for 2 weeks somewhere where it's just like us.
Yeah.
And it was just like, hey, let's just like hang out together.
Right.
And like not, you know, and just spend time together. Yeah. And like the resort we stayed in was fixing their like internet. They were updating their internet. So there was no internet while we were there.
Yeah. Oh,
that's a dream.
And so the
that's
only time I could get internet was like walk down to there was a coffee shop on the street and they had internet. So like one day, I think one every like 5 days, we'd go down and like just check that and make sure everyone was okay.
That should be the way everyone has access to internet.
Right?
I think
I would drink so much. I want to go to Scotland so bad. And I do, and I love Scotch. I love Glenlivet so much.
Well, one of my favorite things that happened, there was at the resort, they offered like a Scotch tasting. And this dude who was a tour guide and a distillery called Royal Lochnagar, he came in and did a whiskey tasting. And he thought Teresa and I were great. And he kept talking about like, oh, you Americans are so nice. And I was like, we're doing it. We're rebranding America. Teresa and I.
Yeah.
There was this Canadian couple that kept doing everything like right before us. And they were really rude. And so like everybody was like, oh, you Americans are so much nicer than those Canadians. We're like, yeah, a thing no one's ever said ever.
Yeah.
Apparently like they did a Scotch taste thing and just kept talking about how Canadian whiskey is better than Scotch.
Whoops. Oh, buddy,
and, like,
no.
They went, we went horseback riding in a glen and they did it the day before and just complained the whole time.
Oh my God.
And the tour guide was like, yeah, we did two Canadians yesterday. And we're like, oh, yes, it's us. We're great.
Yeah.
But so we did the Scotch tasting and he immediately took us. And so then we went to the Royal Lochnagar Distillery and it's so old school and like still in like, there, you know, it's all casks and still done with a person who like tastes it and is like, needs a little bit more. And so like it was, and like that kind of experience of like, what did you say you wanted? Like one of the first night we were there, we went to, I often get very anxious if I'm doing a thing I've never done before, just because I don't know what the process is and I worry I'm going to screw it up. Paul F. Tompkins has a great bit about like worried about getting yelled at and like, you're wrong. It's like, yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. And so we get to this pub and I walked in, I was like, I don't know what to do. And out of nowhere, this wonderful couple goes like, hey, are you from away? Are you visitors? And I was like, yes. And she was like, okay, great. You're going to order the bar. And, you know, then they bring food over to you. I was like, oh, you mean like how ordering food was?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And so they sat down next to us and they were talking to us and they said like, well, do you guys like music? And we're like, yes. And they're like, okay, great. There's a bar in City Center that you should go check out. They play. And we were like, you got it. So that's what we did and kind of followed that train. So then we went to this bar and it was amazing because basically what it was three stories. And on the first floor was like, you know, typical bar with like chairs and table service and like a stage in the corner where they played pretty typical like a band in a bar music. Right. Yeah. And then the second floor was a dance club that played that had like two different rooms with two DJs and like two bars where they would play music. And then the third floor was like couches and recliners and just like acoustic sets.
Wow.
And it was they had separated this into three different music venues.
Yeah.
And so like we just kept moving between floors depending on like, okay, this is great. Let's go back upstairs.
Yeah.
And one of the dance rooms was not being used, but there was still a bartender in there and it was like completely empty. And because he was not busy, I said, hey, can we ask you a question? How does tipping work here? And he's like, yeah. And he like gave us like a 20-minute explanation about tipping in Scotland. It's like, thank you very much. Like just throughout, it was kind of once again, kind of like our philosophy with our wedding of like, let's not bristle at the things we don't know.
Yeah.
And instead, make the choice of like, let's just do this thing.
Yeah.
Like, let's just make the decision to do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it made... And like there was one day where like we had been, you know, there for like 10 days or something. And I was like, hey, I don't really want to go out today. And she's like, yeah, me neither. So we just like bought a bunch of like snack food, like, you know, UK snack food that we couldn't get at home.
Oh, the best chocolate.
Oh, so good, dude. And the chips, like the crisps.
Yeah.
But we just sat on the couch and watched like, you know, BBC game shows.
Mm-hmm.
And just got really, there was this one show that I was fascinated with. It was this house hunting show called Under the Hammer, which sounds like a super dramatic name for the least dramatic show I have ever seen. People would go to auctions, they would buy houses, then they would fix them up, and then they would take you on a tour through it. And you're probably thinking, yes, Travis, I've also watched HGTV.
Right.
Well, hold on to your butts, because the twist here is sometimes that renovation would take years. I saw one episode with a gap between buying the house and taking them through the final tour was 7 years.
Wow. That's awesome.
And like, can you imagine
commitment
being like, okay, cool, you bought it. Give us a call when you're done and we'll film part two.
Yeah.
And so that one episode, the guy was like, yeah, you know, I've changed jobs since then. So I'm and we've had two kids. And it was like, yeah. And he's like, you know, now sporting a giant beard.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, well, things sure have changed here. And it's like, cool. And then I came home and like almost once again, like a sitcom. First night I was back was the first time I saw it was called Storage Wars. It's called like Property Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that thing, you know, like you're going to buy this house sight unsold in an auction kind of thing. And they would buy it and then they'd walk through the house and they'd be like, oh, we're going to get a new counter. That's $1,200. And a little counter would go up in the corner, like $1,200. Yeah. And they would just walk around and say like, and a new sink, $800. Oh, new roof. Well, and then they never did the work and they never showed you the completed house. The VO would just come over and be like, so in the end, it's going to take them about $5,000 worth of work. And I was like, this is the least satisfying thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's the worst. That's just stressful.
Right.
It's just like, oh,
just wait 8 years and film part two.
It's because they had the film crew for one day and they did the one walkthrough.
Right. And it's also just like,
no follow-up.
Okay, who are you that you can just point and be like, well, that carpet's going to be $800?
Yeah.
Where are you getting that from?
Seems like, it seems like Europe is so old that like, I haven't spent that much time there, but it seems like space and time is different there. They're just like, it's so old that they've just been there for so fucking long that they're like, they don't give a fuck.
Well, I also think it's nice to have, you know, and I don't know the intricacies of the BBC, but like state-sponsored TV in a way that you're like, okay, cool. You're not going to get canceled.
Right.
So like if it takes 5 years to film it, like do that.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you always think you would be married or is that something that surprised you?
I wanted to be married and like have kids since I was like 18. Like I really like the idea. My family and I are very close.
Yeah.
And like we grew up.
And your parents had a good marriage. And
oh, yeah. Great.
Yeah.
And you know, not that I think that's a precursor for wanting to be in a good relationship, but
no,
like for me, it was.
Yeah.
And so like there was something about like and I also really like the idea of like having someone that's like you and me together, kid, us against the world.
The world,
And so like I've always really liked that idea, but then and I didn't know how much I would appreciate it come 2018 when the world kind of sucks sometimes. But
did your wife come from like a chill family like you too?
I mean, yeah, she came from like her parents, you know, still together. She's got two sisters. She's the middle kid. And so like her family, you know, still hangs out every Christmas and Thanksgiving and stuff.
Yeah.
And like,
that's right.
And so we have very similar, like she was raised in Ohio and I was raised in West Virginia. And like, we both have pretty similar like backgrounds as far as like growing up doing theater. And in one respect, her family can sit in a room and enjoy each other's company without saying a word to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I love
where if that
families.
Happens for 30 seconds in my house, we all just start screaming.
Yeah.
What's wrong? Why are you upset?
Yeah.
Say something.
Yeah.
It's so like in my house, it's hard. There is rarely a moment of silence. Like to the point where if you walk in and you don't hear anything, you're like, is everybody gone?
Right.
And in her house,
also,
like
everyone is dead.
Yeah. Everyone's dead. Oh no. But in her house, like you can just sit there for like 45 minutes and somebody's just like reading a paper and somebody's just like in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Or like the TV's on and you're just like, what is going on?
Is everyone mad? Yeah.
What's happening?
So it sounds like the way you compliment one another goes out further to one another's families a little
bit. Yeah. I think it very much is like seeing us with our family. There's like okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see. Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you've already given us a lot of great advice, but this is where we usually wrap down. Do people come to you for advice because you have such a strong marriage? And
I mean, so especially since like on Schmanners, the second half of the show is like people write in and ask questions. And my brother and me is an advice show, even though that don't follow that advice. It's terrible. and so, yeah, I mean, people don't come to me. One of the things that I really like, I think it's Miss Manners. No, I think it's Emily Post, where Emily Post talks about like the best way to give advice is to model good behavior.
Yeah.
And rather than like
lead
tell people.
Example.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so like I've been thinking a lot about like toxic masculinity and how much it fucking sucks lately.
Mm-hmm.
And so like one of the things I really try to do is try to be open and honest about like communication, not saying to other people like you need to communicate better, but rather talking about I statements about like, here is why this has meant so much to me and this is how it's changed my perceptions of it, rather than looking at other people and saying, here's what you need to do to be better. It's instead me saying, it's me saying like, here's what changed my life. And if you choose to pick that up, super cool. And if you don't, that's cool too.
I went through that today. I was like thinking about Drake and I was like, fuck, I think Drake's depressed. And then I was like, and then there's like a beat and I was like, no, I'm depressed.
Oh, no, wait. That's me. Well, and so like, that's the thing. Like I started going to therapy within the last year. And like, that was a thing that I put off forever and ever because I kept saying to myself like, well, but I'm smart enough to figure it out on my own. And like, what are they going to tell me that I don't know? And all of the bullshit reasons that people put off going to therapy. And then when my daughter was born and I realized like, you know what? I don't want to have this shit that like I unconsciously pass on to her. And like, I also, and since now, I didn't think this at the time, but now through going to therapy, I also see how much of my shit was like, oh, this makes it harder for Teresa and I to communicate in this moment or to like talk about this thing because of this thing that I'm holding on to or like that I feel is weird. And I don't, because the number one best thing that has come out of therapy for me is like the normalization of the things I'm feeling where I talk to my therapist. For example, the main reason I started going to therapy was I felt terribly guilty that I was frustrated at my child. Like, you know, and she's like 4 months old and she's screaming at me while I'm trying to change her diaper. And it was frustrating. And I was like, I shouldn't be frustrated. This is my kid. I love her. Why am I so frustrated? And I went to the therapist and like, I told her about that. And she's like, it's frustrating. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm not bad. It's a frustrating scenario.
Did you feel like a hormonal thing? Like I've heard dudes say that after they've had kids that they just feel like the testosterone in their body is just like different.
Our birth story is like weird and traumatic, and like we had to have an emergency C-section. Like we went from joking with the nurse, like so Teresa went in for an appointment and the OB was like, you know, her heart rate's a little low, it's probably nothing, I'm probably worried about nothing, but I'm gonna send you to the hospital just to be monitored, and it's probably nothing. And we got to the hospital and we're like joking with the nurse, and then the nurse put the heart rate monitor on it and was like, we need to get this baby out now. And so like 30 seconds later, there's like 9 nurses falling all over each other to get Teresa out of the room, and then like 15 minutes later, doctor walks in and is like, so you're a dad and everything's fine. But for that 15 minutes from like 1:15 to 1:30, I was in the room by myself, like with no feedback, and like then the OB came in and she was like, okay, so like everything's fine, we don't know why that happened, we have and so, spoiler, we still don't, and but like I had like PTSD from that I didn't know about. And the doctor said like, you most likely have post-traumatic stress disorder and you don't, you are in shock right now and you don't even realize it. But that was another reason I started going to therapy. And so that moment and going to therapy has really changed for me the way I think about my own like emotions and the way that I quote unquote thought I was dealing with them. And like, so I think, I don't know if it's hormonal that led to that or if it was like the other way around that like really stopped.
I think that's more what I'm, more what I meant. I think it is the other way around where it's like,
Well, it is weird because is it like, well, no, I'm just analyzing it more now, and so I'm letting myself feel that way more. But I will say that like my response to like seeing a commercial where there's a dad and daughter that fucking kicked up, like I cry at that stuff.
Have you seen American Expresses, like that one with like the like rich like yuppie dad with the baby on his chest and it's like he's like a hot rich dad? It drives me insane because it's American Express. It's like, don't don't push my like debt, like dad button with this like fucking debt. Like you're just slamming down.
But like shortly after she was born, I watched Logan and it just wrecked me like way harder than it should. And I was just like, I was watching it on an airplane, just like weeping. And but so like that, a lot of that. So like between my relationship with Teresa and now like being a dad, I hate the cliche of like, you know, but then I had a kid and it really changed, like because she's a daughter. But for me, it was more of just like, I don't want to what, and I'm not saying like my family has any fucked up stuff, but like everybody has something that like their parents did that they didn't like. Mm-hmm. That yeah. they're like, oh, it was always so frustrating to me when my parents did this. And then you don't even realize it, but like, yeah, you do that too now.
Yeah.
Right. And so, like, trying to get over that shit and like not pass that down has really like changed the way I look at myself.
Yeah.
Of like letting go of the idea of like, no, I'm right. You know, like that thing of like, no, you know what? That is very toxic and unhealthy. And this assumption of like, I'm in charge is bad across the board, you know? And so, like, that's a thing that, so my advice would be,
right,
I think that everybody, even if it's just like a once a year check-in, should talk to somebody, a counselor, a therapist, or like an advice, somebody, and not just like a friend, but somebody who's like trained in counseling and therapy, because I think that there is stuff that it's really easy when you're inside your own head to think like, this is fine. Yeah, everybody thinks this way.
Yeah.
And then you talk to somebody and they're like, hey, so have you thought about, and you're like, oh, yeah, yeah. You know what? I've never thought about that way. I don't think you need to wait to go to therapy until something's wrong with your partner.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I think it's perfectly fine just to, like, the same way especially you would. Yeah, especially, like, you would go to a doctor for a checkup. You go to a dentist for a cleaning.
Right.
Go to a therapist for a check-in. You know what
Great
I mean?
Point. Like,
don't wait till you're sick.
Yeah.
I like that.
And so, like, that's the thing is, like, when I started thinking about my therapist as, like, another doctor that I go to, like, an eye exam, that, like, really took it out of my head of, like, well, I can just deal with this on my own. Like, you wouldn't say that if you needed glasses. You wouldn't be like, yeah, you know what? I'm smart enough and strong enough just to read that thing from far away.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Right. And so I think that it's very important that you go and when, and then to be very self-analytical, you know what I mean? Of like, if you say something or like, so if you have a fight or you have a moment where you do something that upsets your partner, really think like, why did I do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is the reason that I did that thing?
Yeah.
And don't just like, don't just acknowledge it was wrong, right? Or say like, oh, I'm sorry. Okay, great. That's great. You acknowledge it was wrong. You apologize. That's great. But then really think about why did I do it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And if you want to talk that over with your partner, that's great too. Mm-hmm. And like really don't just apologize and don't just like feel bad about it.
Yeah.
Be analytical about it and like try to change the pattern of behavior.
Yeah.
I think that is that's something
advice.
I'm working
that's
for.
That's really, really good advice.
That's fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah, you sound like a pretty level-headed guy.
Now when I was 23, 11 years later, I'm finally getting it together.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us, man. That was great.
Hey, thank you very much.
Thanks, dude.
Well, that guy...
that was a great talk.
He's got
that
a good relationship. Yeah, we need to get his wife back in here when they're back in town. And... because it seems like I, you know, because he was the bombastic one. Now I want to get the the cool sniper one.
Yeah. If you listen to their podcast, Schmanners, you can see that dynamic. Could you tell that I just wanted to talk about his baby the whole time?
You got baby fever.
Of course, I got baby fever. My balls don't work.
Yeah.
It's all I can think about.
Yeah.
That's why I went off. Well, we'll see. You know. And 18 months old.
It's a good age. It's a good age. Wow. I was just hanging out with my buddy, Dr. Nassif, official doctor of the show, and his two kids. And he's got a 2-year-old baby. That's a good age, man.
Ugh. They say terrible twos. I say,
no.
You're terrible.
I say, you too are terrible.
I say, you're terrible.
Well, that's been a good week. Thanks for listening. As always, that was Eric DeDorian. I've been
Dan
Gill.
Thank you so much for listening. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I love you, Eric.
I love you, Dan. Thank you. Bye.
I love you. Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.